thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
What's up, world? How y'all doing today?
You just jumped right into it.
Of course, man. Of course. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You might as well lead it off. You going to jump into it?
Nah.
It's the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Will T is the first one who opened up the show. Thank you, Will T, for opening up the show.
I'm just trying to take some initiative and take on more responsibility. That's all.
Then where them blogs at?
You know them blogs. I'm knocking them out daily, man. I got like 10 written down or scribbled down on the paper at home, man.
I know. With Andre Ward fight coming up this weekend, I was expecting to hear from you.
Yeah, you're going to hear from me now.
I want to talk about it, too. I want to talk about Andre Ward.
I want to talk about it, too. I want to talk about it, too, if we get a little bit of time.
I'm going to try sneaking in. But, yeah, man, we haven't talked in a while. First off, man, happy belated birthday to my man, Ray.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Happy belated birthday, man.
Appreciate it.
Trump victory.
I had to work, so I didn't do a whole lot. But I got an edible arrangement, had some cake, some General Tso's tofu. Absolutely. Celebrated my style, my fashion.
All right. Well,
keep it healthy.
Hey, Will T, let's do it.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are the topics for tonight's show. We're going to talk about Donald Trump being the president of the United States. At 8:15, we'll have Anthony Raposa, host of On the Warpath podcast, which is featured on ESPN 980. We're going to discuss Sunday's Washington Redskins 26-20 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. At 8:30, we'll preview the Redskins-Green Bay Packers game on Sunday night. We'll make our Week 11 NFL and fantasy football picks at 8:40. Finally, we'll talk about the college basketball game between the Georgetown Hoyas and the Maryland Terps. Right now, Georgetown and Maryland are tied 45-45.
Yep.
Last time I checked. And we'll discuss that at right around 8:50. But first off, Donald Trump is our president-elect. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it evoked a gamut of emotions for me personally. It just goes to show that pollsters are wrong. You know, even though you think you have, we've made the advances in analytics and data science. The pollsters got it absolutely wrong. For one, for two, we regressed as a country because during the time when Donald Trump, during his when he was campaigning, he said a lot of things that were divisive and were also disrespectful and hurtful to minorities, women. And so I think we're at a time and place in this country where we may be more divided than we've ever been. It's not the United States, it's divided states, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I think about it now, just thinking about the results of the election for people to select a president who has no experience in government at all.
Yeah, the amazing thing, and I talked to a friend of mine, is that, you know, usually when you're applying for a job, is other than nepotism, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be qualified.
You have to have some type of experience. Right,
qualified, some type of experience. In this situation, he has neither. Right, and that's what amazes me in terms of how we look at an individual trying to get that too. Like Ray put out the dollar sign symbol, but how we look at applying for a job or whatnot, it goes against the whole theme of it, which that amazes me about this whole election. What is wrong with you, Will T?
Nothing, man. Nothing.
But yeah, so I mean, just, and I'm not going to get into who people vote for, because everybody has their opinion. Everybody has their perspective of who they're going to vote for or whatnot. But I will say this, obviously, like Will T mentioned, that a lot of people voted for a guy who fueled within his campaign trail racism. And I have an issue with that. Again, everybody has their right to, you know, we're blessed in this country. You have your right to vote and vote for whoever you want to vote for. But at the same time, understand that if you did vote on that side, you voted for a man that fueled racism. That may not be his main purpose or main platform to discuss, but he did put fire out there when it comes to racism.
I only have two basic comments, and one is Trump's campaign motto was "Make America Great Again," which I don't agree with because it shows how great America is when he can be the president.
Yeah, that's true.
The fact that we have the freedom to choose, because in many countries it's just not going down like that. And secondly, in my opinion, Trump took kind of a WWE approach. To me, not all, some of this was an act. It was a persona, because prior to him coming into politics, and when I say that, I mean he started to talk about the birther issue, saying that President Obama wasn't a citizen. Right around that time, it seemed as though, you know, he took on a different character. Prior to that, did you have a problem with Donald Trump when he was on The Apprentice, when we went to his establishment to gamble? No, you didn't think of Donald Trump as something.
You guys went to his establishment to gamble.
I did. I like money. So
you're Trump supporters.
Look, real talk. I like money.
You guys are Trump supporters.
I went to Caesars.
And real talk, again, I have family in AC, and Trump did provide jobs. He wasn't a hated person. I think, again, he went negative to win the campaign, and it worked, unfortunately, at a time where, you know, people are putting too much hope into, you know, a president, into leaders versus, you know, taking actions themselves. You know, a lot of people are uninformed. I think just based on what I saw, like one person was interviewed. Why did you vote for Donald Trump? Mm-hmm. He made a lot of money. I think he'll make, you know, America great again financially. Seriously. And clearly, look, he's already having a difficult time just trying to establish his government. So it's just something to think about. I think it's something for people to learn from. But one thing is, you can't listen to the media. Will alluded to that, too, about the polls. I always knew that. They didn't poll us, right? So why listen to polls? I never listen to polls. But if you watch the news constantly, and that's the only information you have with anything, you're always going to be misinformed, because the news is not accurate. They show what they want to show. Like, for example, I got an email recently. This is a little bit off the subject, but Haiti. Haiti's recovering very well from this recent storm. Are they going to show that? No. But when Haiti has 1 million dead people on the ground, and they're going to put the cameras and look at the devastation. The media, that's just how it is, man. So, you know, be informed.
So do you have...
stay woke.
That is most definitely. Do you have an issue? Like, I had an issue with it, but do you have an issue with somebody like Colin Kaepernick, who came out and said, I didn't vote at all, knowing that he has this stance about black people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel that everything that he's done up to this point with bringing light to the issues of the plight of how minorities have been treated in this country by the police and by certain initiatives taken by the government is all gone in vain, in my opinion. Because when you're in the system, you have to play within the rules to affect change. Until you're able to gain the momentum with your movement and evoke change from the outside in, right? So I think that he had an opportunity to voice his opinion at the poll, and him not doing that, I'm not going to, I don't believe in what Colin Kaepernick is doing from this point forward, but to me it puts a little bit of angst and
puts a stain on it.
Yeah, it definitely puts a stain on it.
Yeah, I was pro Colin Kaepernick with everything he had to say in terms.
I still am, but I can't judge a person off of one move, mm-hmm. but I do think that it kind of, you know, it takes away from what he's trying to do.
Yeah, I just think that it doesn't. For me, for Colin Kaepernick, I looked at it like, okay, he had a movement. He was about everything. And knowing what the rhetoric with Donald Trump was spewing, you would think that, you know what, like the lesser two evils type thing, that you would, okay, Hillary is going to be for my people even more compared to a Donald Trump. It just seemed that way. And I would just hope that I was thinking like, all right, well, vote that way because you're about the movement. You're about the movement. That's your whole thing. Not about an individual or a guy that's pretty much has the backing of a platform of people that consist of maybe the KKK or people who are racist or whatever. So if I'm Colin Kaepernick, I'm thinking like, you know what? To enhance my people, I should vote for this particular person because I feel that this person gives my people the best opportunity to succeed. And I feel like by him not doing it, it's like, okay, well, Colin Kaepernick, I don't know where your stance really is. You know what I mean?
I get the
cop telling things perfect. But if you're talking about being a Black Panther, then embody that all the way.
I understand that.
Anything you want to
say, Ray Jeezy?
Just that typically owners in professional sports are conservative and players are liberal. I think we're seeing that. Owners aren't saying a whole lot, but a lot of players have spoken out. But
I mean,
their influence is not enough. It never is. Mm-hmm. Somebody like Diddy, who tried to rally for John Kerry years ago, it didn't work. People have to make decisions for themselves. People have to take initiative on their own, man. You can't listen. You can't follow Colin Kaepernick. See, look at that. He's gonna lead you to what? Not stand for national anthem. What is that going to do? So we have to take actions, you know, in our own hands.
I think it leads into a larger conversation. I know I don't want to get too far into depth into this because we have a show to do, but it leads into a conversation about celebrity and just how people tend to follow celebrity and put much onus on celebrity and their opinions and what they're doing and how they feel that they celebrity can potentially lead them. So.
Yeah, but it's a good discussion. We can always.
LeBron James, he stumped for Hillary.
Yeah.
And he has how many Twitter followers? That's just alone. Well,
Cleveland always messes up. They mess that up.
You mean the state of Ohio?
He may leave.
Oh.
Anyway, man, the Redskins beat the Minnesota Vikings Sunday. We'll have Anthony Raposa from On the Warpath podcast to join us to discuss the game. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Looking for sports here in the Tri-City area like you haven't heard before?
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene, my boy Ray Jeezy, my boy Will T, I'm Wally. We are on Twitter. Just tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. You can listen to us on the Sports Career Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. First off, what do I want to discuss? What do I want to do? Want to talk Redskins?
Of course, man. Right, so this is...
Well, my Redskins, because, you know, I love that team. They beat the Minnesota Vikings 26-20.
They're
my Washington Redskins.
They won this week. Okay.
They're always my Washington Redskins.
I'm just pointing out the inconsistencies.
Look, but they're my Washington Redskins. Surprise, I hear you. I ain't going to lie. When the season started, when the schedule came out, this game I had circled as an L.
You one of those.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Minnesota to me was a Super Bowl contender. I looked at this game as a difficult game for this team to win.
Okay.
Well, how about yourself?
I mean, I take every game that Washington plays as an L. But, you know, it is what it is. No, realistically, I think I thought that Washington probably would squeak this one out in a close one for the simple reason that their passing game is one of the best, not just from the results they get, but how the diagram, the way the play calling and things for that nature. I thought that they could put a lot of pressure on Minnesota, Minnesota cornerbacks by, exploiting matchups, mm-hmm. like, you know, trying to get Jordan Reed on linebackers or on a safety, using Chris Thompson out of the backfield. I thought if, DeSean Jackson played, you know, you would probably had to put a safety over top of mm-hmm. him because of his speed. But DeSean Jackson didn't play. Pierre Garçon, who's been really stepping it up for this team, had another solid game.
Yeah, sure did.
That's going to bring up an interesting conversation later on, though, about Pierre Garçon, the decision between Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson.
I think that decision's already been made.
I think it has been. Like I said when we talked about this last or earlier this year, I think you got to go with Pierre Garçon.
I think DeSean Jackson. I think Pierre Garçon is cheaper. He's cheaper. He'd be cheaper to keep. And also, it just for whatever reason it is, he's more of a target than DeSean Jackson. You know what I mean? So when I look at whatever that is, like he's more like DeSean Jackson doesn't get the touches that Pierre Garçon gets, or anybody, to be honest with you. Jamison Crowder gets more touches than a DeSean Jackson.
Absolutely.
So, I don't think he's being used correctly within his organization at the moment. I'm not blaming DeSean on it, but I will say this, that for what this team is doing with Jordan Reed and a Vernon Davis, and I'll even say this, I think Vernon Davis right now is a free agent. I think he's more viable than DeSean Jackson for this offense.
You do?
For this offense.
Oh, okay.
No, if in any other offense, I would take DeSean Jackson over Vernon Davis. But I'm saying for this offensive unit, the way it's been, the way players are used, mm-hmm. Vernon Davis is more of a threat than DeSean Jackson.
I agree.
And it's not a knock on DeSean Jackson at all. I think Vernon Davis had 66 yards yesterday.
Sunday.
And he's had nothing but, with that touchdown, and he has nothing but explosive plays out of the tight end position.
No, when you put DeSean Jackson, excuse me, not DeSean Jackson, but when you put Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed on the field at the same time, that's matchup problems, right? Because there are very few linebackers and safeties that can keep up with both of those guys down the seam. Mm. Even though they aren't, you know, they don't have freakish height like Gronkowski and Bennett in New England, but they are two guys that are pretty good at route running and guys who who have very good speed and can get open versus smaller linebackers and safeties.
No, like DeSean Jackson has about over 400 yards in receptions and whatnot. 400 yards receiving wise, excuse me. And I just think I think he's just been misused. But I'm going to go back to the Minnesota game anyway. I was surprised that the Redskins were able to run the ball effectively on the Vikings. You had Robert Kelly had 97 yards and 22 carries.
Talk about Matt Jones being a healthy scratch.
He is who he is. I'll say this. Talk about why they didn't re-sign Alfred Morris. Talk about why you decided to choose Matt Jones, a guy who didn't prove anything, who averaged averaged about probably 3.3 yards a carry last season. Now, granted, he's having a better year this year. I believe he's averaging like 4.6 yards a carry. But the issues of fumbling has still been there for Matt Jones. But it's amazing that a lot of people have seen this about Matt Jones. We're wondering why are we replacing Alfred Morris with this dude? And now he's getting bent. He's been benched by an undrafted player in a Robert Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm not going to say a problem, but, you know, because ultimately you were able to rectify it by bringing in Robert Kelly, and you didn't further exacerbate the problem by keeping Matt Jones as the starter and, you know, keeping Robert Kelly on the bench. But I wonder what this does for Matt Kelly Matt Jones from a confidence perspective coming in.
Well, I don't think, like Jay Gruden said, the third running back has to be able to play special teams. So if he can't play special teams, he's not seeing the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting decision to be made with him in the coming weeks once you get to the offseason.
Well, right now, our guest, Anthony Raposa, looks like he's running a little late. We're just going to have to go on with the show, man.
Oh, yeah, that's no problem, man.
Reds are starting to get 14-0. How come this team tends to always give up big leads?
To be honest with you, I didn't see the whole. I knew that they went up 14.
Okay.
And then I had to run out. I had a couple things I had to do. But No, they.
What's so funny?
We don't need help. You can't do all the talking.
No, I don't need help. I mean, it is a three-man show.
Shots fired. I'm just listening to your in-depth analysis, sir. Before I give my rebuttal, I just wanted to hear your take on the Redskins because you weren't here last time, so I did a lot of the talking.
Yeah, I mean, I was out of town.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, but they went up 14-0. Then you saw in classic Washington fashion, they had lapses on defense and they took their foot off the pedal, and that's how Minnesota was able to get back in the game.
Well, honestly, I think Minnesota, like Wally said, Minnesota's still a good team, and they have a lot of weapons. So the Redskins defense, which is not the greatest defense, I don't know if you can call them a bend but don't break, but they have difficulty stopping the run. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is what came into play. As well as field position.
In this game, would it? They stopped.
I'm talking about
in general.
Just the comeback, not the whole game. You said how did? When did you ask the question?
Yeah,
about,
you're right.
They were down 14-0. I'm talking about that's how they got back in the game. They had a balanced attack to get back in.
It wasn't a
issue for the entire game. No, I would agree.
No, they featured pretty much how they came back was they just kept going to Stephon Diggs. Like, so, and the Redskins never adjusted.
Shout out to Stephon Diggs. You did big things for my fantasy football team this weekend, man.
DMV zone, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs in that second quarter went off, and this team didn't adjust. He was killing Fuller. He was like, and they put him in the slot. They had moving the slot, and every time you had a big play, then you had Kyle Rudolph consistently make plays as well. So, Bradford got in a rhythm. The Redskins still stopped the run to a certain extent, but Stephon Diggs and Rudolph went ham, and you had Rudolph had that touchdown, and then things just went from there. This team consistently, in my opinion, when they go up 14-0, and maybe I'm from the Joe Gibbs style of football, when you go up big, you tend to want to gotta run the ball. Like, you want to run the ball for your offense. So I mentioned Robert Kelly having 97 yards. When you're up 14-0, a way to keep a bad defense off the field, run the ball. You already got a 14-point lead. You're already doing some good things. Run the ball and have balance. I remember in that game, Redskins were up 14-0. Defense had a 3-and-out. So what did the offense do? They threw the ball 3 straight times. What happened? A 3-and-out. Minnesota gets the ball, scores a touchdown. So when you have an opportunity, limit the possessions of the other offense. I feel like that way you won't have a team come back on you like every time. We've seen this team. This happens for this team all the time.
Is it that simple though? Is the offense, the play call, and the coaching, is that still, I guess, an ongoing problem from week to week? Because Kirk Cousins right now is getting a lot of love. That's the focal point within the media and the fan base. But right now, I'm hearing different from you.
No, I think for me, I feel like to me, it's more play calling. I think Sean McVay tends to want to, you know, have that sexy offense, that offense that, okay, I'm passing the ball a lot. Sometimes he gets away from a balanced offense. This game, he was more balanced than other games. My issue with Sean McVay is called situational balance. If that makes any sense.
I know what you're getting, trying to get at.
You know what I mean? So like, okay, you're up 14-0. Why do I need to throw the ball 4 straight times or 3 straight times? I can run the ball, drain clock. I know my defense is bad. I don't have to have them on the field, so it makes it easy for me.
So what you're trying to say is you don't think that Sean McVay is, when he's calling the game, takes into consideration one of the weaknesses of the team,
exactly,
which is the defense.
Yeah. And you should. I mean, I think every offense, like the Baltimore, think about the Baltimore Ravens in 2000, right? They told Trent Dilfer, don't put us in a jacked up situation. Don't turn the ball over. So that means don't make the risky plays because you know your defense is that good to stop them. So you don't put your defense in a bad situation, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And to back up what I was saying earlier, because I have the play-by-play in front of me now. Mm-hmm. When the Redskins gave the ball back to the Vikings up 14-0.
Yeah.
It was a shorter field. The Vikings started the 33. Yes, they had a big passing play to Stephon Diggs for 36 yards. But then you had a run for 6 yards and another end around for 11 yards. And right there, to me, that put them in position to score in the red zone. Now, right there, you add those two up. That's 17 yards. Mm-hmm. That is almost half of what the Vikings had rushing all day. So that's what I meant when I said the run defense to me didn't hold up in how the Vikings got back in the game. And like you just said, you put the defense in a bad position.
Yeah.
Now, the 33, is that the best starting field position? No, but it's better than the 20, a whole lot better than the 20.
Yeah, it's better than the 20, but... So yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. They had some big
some lapses.
Yeah, some lapses within
that. And at home at that.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, defensively, they shut the team out in the second half. Minnesota didn't score at all in the second half. Which again, if you would listen to pundits in this area, they would make it sound as if the defense had the worst game. Play well, if a man get that big deal like now.
Yes. He should have got a deal before the season. Because what are the other options? Tony Romo, it's hard to find a franchise quarterback. You clearly have one, not a star quarterback, but a franchise quarterback. Kirk Cousins is that. He's proven it. What else does he have to do? Does he have to win this game against the Packers to prove that he can win in primetime? Is that the last thing he needs to do now? Everything that the fans have asked, the knocks that's been on him, he's overcome these things. He's met every challenge. So, I believe it's time to sign him. Scott McLuhan needs to get on that.
I think for a certain population of the fans, what Kirk Cousins does will never be enough, right? I think that the bar will consistently being moved up, you know, for those people who aren't fans or who haven't bought into him being the franchise quarterback that on some levels he's shown that he could be over time. But I do, you know, to answer your question, yes, I do think they need to sign him, give him a deal. I'm not saying a $20 million range, but you need to find something that's acceptable for both parties, probably in the middle, because the reality is Kirk Cousins at this point isn't a guy that's going to go out and orchestrate the plays to win the game for you. He needs some talent around him. He needs a run game. Whenever this team's been able to run, we've seen the end result. He's played better, and he needs weapons. You know, you have Jordan Reed locked up. You signed Josh Doctson. Ryan Grant doesn't look like he'll be that guy for you that they thought he would be. Who was the young kid who got on and made two plays for them last Sunday?
Oh, Maurice Harris.
Maurice Harris. He looks like, you know, maybe he could be a developmental guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to make a decision who to sign between Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. So he's shown that he's a guy that he can't win you a game, but if you put the right things around him, he could definitely keep you very competitive in the race for a playoff spot.
I'm on the side saying, you know, give him a contract right now. He's playing well. And that's what you want. You want your quarterback or any young player to get, you know, to show you progression. He showed progression. I agree with Will T that, you put him in a situation, where, you know, you have all these players and whatnot to be around him. You foster a good environment for him, meaning, you know, a good number one wide receiver, a good tight end, you know, good tight end, keep quality players around him, good running game. He can play well. He's not the quarterback like a Drew Brees, Rivers, Rodgers to carry a whole organization. No, he's not that dude. But if you put talent around him, he can produce it. He can facilitate like a true point guard. So I'm on the side. I know people don't believe it. I'm on the side of saying give the man the contract. Now, my whole thing is not to hinder the franchise vibe because you still want to build around it, but give the man a contract.
So how much are you going to pay him?
I understand that, you know, in today's market for quarterbacks, you got to pay about 20. So to be fair, 20. But it would be like a Kaepernick type of deal. You know what I mean? It would definitely be that type of deal. I know it spoke about
he's not going to accept a Kaepernick type of deal.
No, he's not. He's definitely not. Well, I mean, no, I think after this season, he's going to want something. I would say in the Andrew Luck range.
Andrew Luck?
He doesn't deserve to get Andrew Luck money, but I think his agent think is going to press
cap.
Hard.
I think he'll take that cap deal. I think he'll take that
cap
deal.
Nah, he won't take
he
the cap
deal. He loves playing with Jay Gruden. I think he'll take that cap deal.
I don't.
I'm telling you. Well, speaking of, I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. Ravens are playing the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night, matter of fact, Sunday night.
right up the street, FedEx Field.
Yeah, definitely, FedEx Field. Who would you, at this point in time, right now, this season, if you're Washington Redskins, if you're the Washington Redskins, who would you take? Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins right now?
At this point in the season, right now, having seen both, well, I'll say this. There was a poll in Green Bay, and 90% of the fans who responded said they would take Kirk Cousins at this point.
Yeah, I heard
rather than Aaron Rodgers.
We were listening to the same thing.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. which I think is
oh, man, that's hilarious.
Which I think is funny, but
right? Ain't it funny?
Yeah, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers all day, every day over Kirk Cousins.
I feel that, yeah, common sense speaking, we know we've seen Aaron Rodgers, we've seen what he can do and what he can, how he can carry a franchise. So, yeah, it's easy to say Aaron Rodgers.
Listen to this.
Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers is having an all year, right?
Yeah.
22 touchdowns this season already, 7 picks.
Even everybody's making
Kirk Cousins, 14 touchdowns, 7 picks, and he's having an awesome season where he needs a contract. Exactly. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And he's throwing for more yards than.
Look, I'm saying a lot of people. That's what a lot of people are saying. Like,
it's the same people that voted for Trump.
Exactly.
Wisconsin. Do your homework,
Wisconsin,
man.
In Wisconsin.
Come on, he has no running game. Nobody's healthy. Come on. You got to be kidding me.
I would take A-Rod. And I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan.
If you got Aaron Rodgers in Jay Gruden's offense.
Oh, my God. With these weapons, Jordan Reed.
Because Kirk Cousins, oh, he misses a lot of throws. He underthrows DeSean Jackson on deep balls. There's a lot of things that he needs to work on. Not saying that, I mean, Colt McCoy was talking about the challenges of throwing to DeSean Jackson. But not that he is a bad quarterback. Again, I'm giving him props. He's a franchise quarterback. But in comparison to Aaron Rodgers, if you give Aaron Rodgers the weapons mm-hmm. that Kirk Cousins have and the offensive scheme, mm-hmm. come on, man.
Real quick, the Packers are struggling. I believe the Packers are 4-5. Redskins are 5-3-1. Does this remind you of the playoff game when last season when everyone thought the Packers were struggling? This is the prime time for the Redskins to beat the Packers?
Absolutely. You get the same sentiment that's around this town now. You know, the Packers aren't at the offense isn't performing at the optimal level. There's some dissension in the ranks between, you know, Mike McCarthy and allegedly between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. So a lot of people think this is going to be an easy win for Washington this Sunday night, but, not so fast, my friends. I don't think so.
All right. Give me a prediction for the game.
Prediction for the game.
Yeah.
Woo. I'm saying 35-31, Green Bay.
Great, easy.
I'll take the Redskins at home. I don't think it's going to be that high of a scoring game. The Redskins' weakness has been the run. Green Bay cannot run the ball. It makes them one-dimensional. You're getting healthier as the weeks go on in the secondary. I'm thinking Redskins win by a small margin, field goal. I'm not going to give a score, though.
All right. I'm just going to say the Redskins win. I'm not going to give a score.
I'll take the Redskins.
So y'all punking out, huh?
No, I think you just took it upon yourself to predict the
score. I didn't take it upon myself. I just always strive for greatness.
You're always on that Wilstradamus stuff.
Yes, I strive for greatness, so that's why.
Speaking of Wilstradamus and what he thrives in, we're about to make our NFL picks after the break. You listen to Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Wait.
This one's for you and me. Living out our dreams, we're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters, a sky.
I would have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards f*** my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward, Had a dream, I was king, I woke up, still king. Smap caves, nipple is mine, with the milk king. Tell nobody else even f***ing feels me, till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is, or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free, but from now on I'm refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up, fusing. No more excuses, excuse me if my head is too big for this building, and pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you're slick. poppin' done how you flipped your life around. Rockers, who you trying to kid? Flip, you did opposite, you stay the same. Back with the still, you. I love it when I tell them shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall sat. Busted black, busted cause he couldn't cut. Busted muster up, nothing brain fuzzy cause he's buzzing. Woke up from that buzzing, now you wonder why he does it, how he does it. Wasn't cause he had buzzing circle around his head, waiting for him to drop dead. Was it, or was it cause them just wrote him off? I guess it doesn't matter now, cause
this one's for you and me, living out our dreams. We're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I want.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Will T, and Ray Jeezy. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a pick'em challenge every week. We missed last week because, you know, it was the election, so we omitted that week, and we didn't compete that week. But anyway, that week prior, Ray went 7-6. Ray and myself went 7-6, and Will T went 9-4 the last time we did do our pick. Why you got that face like you've been doing something? You know?
I'm just saying.
Don't make that face, though. You don't got to make that face.
No, I'm just saying, dog.
You got that face like when LeBron James won that first championship in Miami. And he had it like, look at me now. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just, you know, it is what it is, man. Let me be great, you know?
Let's do this.
Let's do it, man.
People do real things. Let's do our overall record.
Let the people know. Inform the people.
Ray is 68. It's 68, 62, and 2. Will T is 70.
Let's say mine last. Say mine last. All say right, mine
you,
last.
I know I'll do this. I'll do that. My record was 60. My record is, 65 and 2. Will T is 73, 57 and 2.
Wow.
How does that make you feel, man?
I mean, it's.
You impressed by that?
No, I'm not impressed because I know what I'm capable of doing. The world doesn't know fully yet, but. It is what it is, man.
All right, man. It's week 11 picks, man. We're gonna pick these games. Saints versus Panthers in Carolina.
Thursday night game. What?
We gonna do the spread?
Nah, I mean, I don't have to if y'all don't want me to.
Don't do the spread because we're gonna be batting. I'm not.
Okay, all right. I'm taking the Panthers.
Panthers.
Steelers versus Browns.
Steelers.
I hate the Steelers now, though. Going for two, like, every freaking...
Mike Tomlin's going to end up losing his job over that, man.
That was dumb. That was so dumb.
That didn't cost him the game, though, but go ahead.
It's situational coaching. Whatever. Well, I'm not going to talk about it. Ravens versus Cowboys in Dallas.
I'm going for upset on this
one. I'm going Ravens, too.
Daggone it.
We all...
all right, I'll take the Ravens.
Jaguars, Lions in Detroit.
Give me the Lions.
Give me the Jaguars.
Detroit.
I want to be different anyway. Titans versus the Colts in Indy.
Real people do real things.
Give me the Titans.
Sheesh.
Give me the Colts.
I'm only going with the Colts because he picked the Titans. We picked the same game so far. I'll take the Colts.
Bills versus Bengals.
Oh, give me the Bills. The Bengals are out of there.
Give me the Bengals.
I'll take the Bengals.
Buccaneers versus Chiefs.
Chiefs are one of the top four teams in the NFL now. Give me the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Bears, Giants in New York.
Give me the Giants.
Giants. These are easy games. Cardinals versus Vikings.
This is a hard one right here.
Because they're both not playing at the best level.
Yeah, they both are talented teams, not playing at their optimal level. But I think Carson Palmer makes just enough plays for the Cardinals.
Give me the – I don't like either team right now.
I'll take the Cardinals too, by the way.
Give me the Vikings.
I'll take the Cardinals.
Give me the Vikings. I'll go on my own little island. Dolphins versus the Rams. This is the start of –
Jared Goff.
Yeah, he's starting this game.
It's taking him 9 weeks to get ready. He still isn't ready. Give me the Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins are actually a strong team right now. Give me the Dolphins.
I'll take the Rams.
Patriots versus the Niners in San Francisco.
Give me the Patriots.
Yeah, I know, right? I laugh when I
Patriots.
Say the like you're the Patriots. Eagles versus Seahawks in Seattle.
Hey, I'm shocked that Will didn't say Jeff Fishy wins games like this. He always says that he's going to take the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Jeez. This is in Seattle.
This ain't a question for me.
Give me the Eagles.
I'll take the Seahawks.
You mean Seahawks. Packers versus, we already did that one. Texans versus the Raiders in Oakland.
Give me the Raiders.
All right. Give me a fantasy pick. I do my
Raiders. I got the Raiders.
The Raiders too? Oh, give me the Raiders. I'm in the Raiders as well.
I'm taking Kansas City defense against Jameis Winston. I already had 10 picks on the season. Even a 4-pick performance early in the year. So, Kansas City defense starts. You see what they did to Cam this past weekend. That pick six changed the whole game after being down 17-0. I got the Kansas City defense starting.
That was a good one. Again, because I'm so, like, not at the right level. Give me, I want to say, actually give me Rob Kelly. Give me Robert Kelly against the Packers. Give me Robert Kelly.
Going Fat Rob?
Fat Rob, man.
I'm going to go with Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs against the Arizona Cardinals.
That's a tough one. You know, Winston's going to probably
follow him. Yeah, Patrick Peterson's going to follow
him the whole time.
But Pat Shurmur is doing a good job in getting Stephon Diggs the ball and keeping him involved in the offense.
It's weird. Yeah. It's
weird. No, his past two games, he's had like 13 catches each game.
No, he kills. Dude, definitely he's doing big work. I mean, I like Stephon Diggs. I was surprised he was such a late draft pick, to be honest with you. I like him in Maryland. I like him way more than Hayward Bay.
Yeah, against Detroit, he had 13 catches for 80 yards, and against Washington, he had 13 catches for 164 yards.
No, I like the pick. Anyway, man, Georgetown is playing Maryland. The score right now is Georgetown's 05, 68-63 with 1 minute and 24 seconds left. We'll discuss after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saints.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hello, it's me. All right, we're back. I'm about to choke Will T right now.
Let's go to the Thirsty Turtle.
Don't choke
AKA
me.
A.K.A. Lupos.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray Jeezy. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Right now, the Hoyas just lost to the Maryland Terps. 76-75. They were up about how much with a minute left? Seven?
Seven.
Up 7 points with a minute left. Your thoughts of the game?
Can't play like that in conference, but I'll tell you that much.
Can't play like that ever.
Choke. Choke is all I can call it, man. You know, when you have that large of a lead
Walt Williams
on your home floor and a budding, emerging rivalry, a rivalry that, you know, for that fans of this area haven't seen for years upon years. And you had, and coming off of last year's 4-point loss, this was your opportunity to, you know, put a dagger in Maryland's heart. And but now you have to wait another 8 years to play this game again for these two teams to be matched up.
So what does it say about Coach Thompson? I mean, he's been the hot seat.
It doesn't say anything because you know what? The Thompsons own Georgetown. Rightfully so. I think his coaching performance over the last Hoyer fans, but once again, Georgetown, they melted under the pressure. They buckled under the pressure.
I think it's going to take a famous alumnus to say enough is enough. But who's that going to be? Iverson, Mourning, none of them are going to speak out against him because of his last name. And then you got the network with his brother working. It's going to be hard to get rid of him. It's going to be so difficult to get rid of him. He's going to have to step down at some point and come out of denial, or the university is going to make a tough decision. But I think ultimately somebody's going to have to speak up. And right now I don't know who that guy would be that would have that type of voice. I'm trying to find somebody in recent memory. But right now I'm drawing blanks. You know, the younger generation, the Jeff Greens of the world, who were not as close – you know, to their coach as, let's say, some of the older generation, Joey Brown, those years, Dikembe, they don't have enough, to me, a pull
to
speak out.
How big was this victory for Maryland? Struggle with AU, they go and beat Georgetown and Verizon. Now, it's a neutral court for real, like Ray would say, like it's in the area. But how big is this W for?
I mean, it's big for their confidence. You down seven on the road, a hostile and we can say that it's neutral, but it's pretty hostile because it's Georgetown's home.
But you do have some.
But you had your fans, and it's a huge game for this area locally, right? So that's the type of game that really helps build the confidence of a younger team.
I agree with that.
And definitely can give them the confidence to go forward in clutch matchups and produce wins.
Melo Tremble had 22 points, 7-14, hit the two big free throws to put this team up, the Maryland Terps up. How big is this season for Melo Tremble?
Well, he's a junior, correct?
Yep.
Yep. We all know that he could have left after his freshman year, and there were some mixed he was getting mixed indication if he would be a first-round pick or, you know, if he'd be a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. Last year's team, I think it's definitely safe to say underachieved. Yeah. That was a very talented team. He didn't have the strongest of the years. And now this is his team once again. It's all on Melo Tremble this year. So I think he has to have one of those All-American years.
I miss Diamond Stone, man. I think he would have thrived this year. Like, honestly, Maryland, the game isn't as close if Diamond Stone's still on the team. I have so many thoughts about college basketball in general. I can't go into. But Melo Tremble, yes, he's got to learn how to lead. He's got the right coach in order to develop. So as the season progresses, I expect that he will grow. I think this game is huge. It's huge for his confidence. You never give up, especially in college basketball. It's never over. And if you need a game to get you ready for March, this is the game.
Yeah, definitely. We'll do a lot of Georgetown-Maryland talk as the season goes on. But you're about to wrap this show up, man.
Let's put a bow on it. It's been fun once again, man.
He's upset.
Nah, it's been fun once again to come in here, kick it with you guys, talk sports. Next week is Thanksgiving
week. Yeah, we're not going to be on next week. We're not going to be on next
week. Yeah, so, you know, happy holidays to all of us, to the fans, to the millions and millions of fans, our cult-like following that we have out there.
Absolutely. To my man, with my bulimic brother next to me, you know, you're going to eat and then you're going to purge. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm cursing myself. I'm going to eat and I'm going to starve myself. Anyway, you listen to the Urban Sports Saints.
For ages. Deuces.
Hey, man, go lead us out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.